The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Seculo Brothers Podcast. We want truth, no more lies, no more lies. We speak how we feel, no more compromise. Take away our freedom, huh? Now, this is America, land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me. Land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me.
Welcome to the Secular Brothers Podcast. Oh, Will Haynes joined me. It's Logan Secular. Will's coming in. Was waiting for him, but then I said, I'm going to do it anyway. But then he showed up right as we started. So welcome, Will.
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, Jordan's out today. It is spring break. Spring break in the year 2023. It's a bit different than when we were kids, but.
Yeah, we don't get to have as much fun. Not as much, I mean, like,
it's a different
pool
kind of,
parties,
different
right?
Kind of. I have plenty of pool parties. They're okay. Just with, you know, 9-year-olds, 7-year-olds. You know, my children.
You're manning the grill now. I mean, grill Master Logan.
I don't man the grill, but I go, someone's cooking burgers.
Yeah.
I smell it. Hey, we want to address today's show pretty quickly off the top, because I think there's some interesting stuff in the world of sort of what I say the intersection of pop culture and politics. And that is last night. You had the 95th Annual Academy Awards, the Oscars, if you will. I don't think they've put out the overnight ratings, but there was actually quite a bit of buzz going around the Oscars last night. Mainly, this is the headline even that comes out of Variety, the Oscars were safe, conventional, and old-fashioned, which made them ideal. It's true. This Oscars, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, who's not exactly a friend to anyone conservative, has actually probably been one of the more aggressive people against conservatives, was the host. So we all kind of seemingly thought there would be a lot of politics in this show. There really wasn't. There was a handful of jokes and references, but compared to previous years, very minimal. So you had one reference to January 6th footage being edited. Like the Tucker footage. That's being,
right.
You had one joke about that, and you had a joke related to Hunter Biden and Joe Biden calling Spielberg and Seth Rogen the Hunter and Joe Biden of Hollywood. Again, not exactly a positive joke, but that was pretty much it. There's a couple other little handfuls of little references here and there, but very little comparatively. I don't know if anyone, other than a couple very brief mentions, even in acceptance speeches, made a lot of directly political statements, maybe one or two. And I watched the whole show, and it was refreshing to see that. You also had, for a first time in a long time, years of feature films that were nominated for Best Picture that a lot of people had seen. So for the first time in years, it felt like there was a movie like Top Gun Maverick nominated, Avatar, The Way of Water, big blockbuster movies, Elvis. Now, that wasn't the big winner of the night, but all those were nominated. It did feel like the Academy, after last year's, decided that we needed a pivot.
It's almost like they've been making movies for people again. People to watch.
That. Well, it was interesting also that they, because of everything you think of last year's is just as the slap. Mm-hmm. I don't think people can think of anything else. So much so this year, they decided no red carpet, Will.
At all.
It went champagne-colored carpet.
Okay.
Because right. They decided that would bring the mood down. It would bring everyone's, like, their demeanor.
What is this, the
down.
Golden Globes now?
it was interesting. Look, I actually, as someone who likes marketing and that kind of thing, that's an interesting move. Mm-hmm. You decide, oh, we're not, because the red is too aggressive.
Too pretentious, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's calmer? A nice taupe.
Taupe.
That's what I felt like. It was a taupe carpet. It wasn't really champagne. It wasn't
right.
Sparkly.
Yeah, the champagne is sparkly. Taupe is brown.
This was
brown.
Tan.
Yeah.
You know, it's khaki. This was the khaki carpet.
Khaki carpet.
Now, I do say a lot of people didn't talk about politics. Now, the big winner of the night was Everything, All at Once. I messed it up. You know what I'm saying. That big movie that came out of that was, they won everything practically. I think they won 7 Academy Awards last night for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And Michelle Yeoh, who you may know as the lead of that, or I think you knew her from some of her other films for years, she won and was the first, I believe, yes, this says Michelle Yeoh took an apparent jab. We'll do this. As she made history as the first Asian person to win as lead actress for this film. And who did she take a jab at? Was it the conservatives? Was it those hard-nosed ultra-MAGA people? Was it the protesters? Who was it? Who was she going to take a bit of a jab at her acceptance speech? Let's hear it.
This is proof that dreams dream big, and dreams do come true. And ladies, don't let anybody tell you you are ever past your prime. Never give up.
That's right. Thunderous applause against who? CNN's Don Lemon. You could not ask for a better Oscar moment. I was so excited in this because, you know what? At least felt like someone was standing up against this and brings that story right back into the mainstream as we all kind of had forgotten and moved on that Don Lemon said the pastor prime. Clearly something was in her speech because, look, we all kind of figured she was going to win. This was the, as they say, this was their night.
Yeah.
This was the night for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And
I'm glad that they, you know, announced the right winners.
They did.
Right.
And was they made it jokes La La about Land. That. Yeah, they made a lot of jokes about that. They made a lot of jokes about that. A lot of statements about how Top Gun brought people back to the theaters was the first. So they gave a lot of praise to Tom Cruise, who was not in attendance, decided not to appear. So they
what
took
was he
some,
doing? He had other things?
I think he just knew he wasn't going to win.
That's fair.
You know? I mean, they did a big thing for him a couple weeks ago.
He was upset no red carpet. He's like, I only come if there's red carpet.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even for this taupe.
No, not into it.
They made a Scientology joke.
Oh, well, that's
which
also
I was actually
I
pretty
go.
Interesting in that room.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what it was. It was an L. Ron Hubbard joke. But they did that. And the other pilots from Maverick were all in a box. And they kept cutting to them. That was maybe a weird moment. But the fact that you didn't even have really a hardcore left screaming fit kind of speeches.
Right.
You had very emotional speeches from, Short Round from Indiana Jones won for Best
Which
Supporting
was incredible.
Actor. Amazing. You had, which I loved. It was such a great moment.
And then
you
there's had, that photo of the hug of Harrison Ford hugging him, and it just like gives you all the feels.
Just get you. Jamie Lee Curtis won, first time she's ever nominated.
Wow.
So they made a big deal about that and a really big push for the support of genre films, which I kind of liked. That was fun. Mm-hmm. But to me, the overwhelming story coming out of the Oscars that you should care about is that Hollywood is listening. They may not like it, and they may not like you, but they see what's happening. They see the turn that people are making. They see that Hollywood has to react to whatever's happening. They see Disney having to restructure and everything that's going on because they are listening to the conversation. And even if they don't agree with you, what you saw in this year, now next year, who knows? We'll be in the middle of a political season again. I have a feeling it'll be red hot again. But this year was the first year in a long time they felt thankful to their customer who returned back to the theater. They felt thankful for a movie that supported American patriotism, like Top Gun Maverick. And they made statements like this, saying, we don't care if you're CNN. You're not going to tell us, because we're over 40, that we are past our prime. And that was probably one of the big – I mean, that was the second biggest award of the night.
Right.
The biggest award would be Best Picture. Maybe you could say Best Director. But really, it's usually lead actor and lead actress. And for that to be the political takeaway.
Right.
It's pretty fascinating.
Now, you are giving the Academy and Hollywood a lot of credit for this year. I think maybe some of our Rumble audience would push back as well. But do you think that trying to just not make any waves because of how much drama and fallout from Will Smith also played a large part of it?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the champagne carpet effect.
Right.
That is to bring the calm down.
But they decided, obviously, not to do the jabs, that Jimmy Kimmel was funny, but not overtly nasty as he can be.
Yeah, it wasn't horribly mean. It was a fun – there were funny jokes. There was a few, jokes, but there was no. It felt more like a Billy Crystal.
But it's taken them so long to get here, too, though, because it's not like the American people haven't been saying, hey, that's not what we want for decades.
Yeah.
And they've – I used to be a huge consumer of the Oscars and the Golden Globes. I loved those award shows. And as you and I, we are both going to the theater guys. That's our, we love going to see movies on the big screen. And they lost me a few years back. And I was one of the longest holdouts. I'm the guy who still reads the newspaper.
Yeah.
The old timer.
Will's the one taking pictures of articles and texting them to me. Like,
yeah,
my mom.
You got
to
see this. It's in print.
Yeah,
I could just Google the headline and find it. But
here's
sometimes
a funny
they have
New Yorker cartoon.
You hate it when I do that, but I love it. But all that to say is that it's taken them this long, and if they completely knee-jerk back, is it a gotcha moment for people that may have said, hey, that was a little refreshing?
No, I think a lot of people said it was refreshing, but you know, I think award shows in general took a hit because we all kind of look at it as kind of gross a little bit. There's a little bit of you that looks at the whole thing and goes, this all feels wrong. This all feels too much. But this year they put back a lot of the awards that weren't in it. The show ran incredibly long. It was nearly 4 hours long. But they brought back a lot of the art awards, editing.
Yeah.
They brought back a costume design. A lot of the ones that they were not doing on TV. They brought back all the major awards, made it very long, but it also wasn't all about the celebrities.
It wasn't everything everywhere all at once.
Was not. Did you see that, by the way?
I actually haven't seen it. I've seen the trailers, and it's one of those that I want to see, but I also know it looks extremely stressful. And that I need to be in the right mindset. And normally, once we get the kids down, we put on something either lighthearted or like true crime murders. So, you know, either extremely dark or just whimsical. Yeah. And that type of thinking movie is not normally what I want once the kids are down.
That's
trying
to deal with.
Calm your brain before
it's
bed.
It's not as much like that as you think.
You've seen it?
Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
Okay.
So before the Oscars, I watched it knowing that this was probably going to be the big winner of the night, and I wanted, because I'd seen most of the others,
right,
and I somehow had missed it. And mainly I missed it because I hated that multiverse Marvel movie. And that movie just soured me on the multiverse. Because this is another multiverse, and I was just over the multiverse.
I'm not a fan of the multiverse either.
This is a different multiverse. This is worth watching. It is a good movie.
Yeah,
it's a really good movie.
It's
a very unique movie. And I think that's the best way to describe it. Is it my favorite of what got nominated? No, but I could see why it should win in the sense of it was pretty different,
right,
pretty groundbreaking. I feel bad, actually, for the other movies that got nominated because
they didn't stand a chance.
Well, no, I think that there was three or four movies that were nominated this year that that any other year would have won.
Could have won, right.
I think Elvis could have won. I think Fablemans could have won. I think I didn't see The Whale, so I assume it's great, but I haven't seen it.
Brendan Fraser comeback, though.
Love it. You know what? We'll talk about that
good.
In 1 second, because that's also another referendum on Hollywood. I don't know if people know this. He was an outspoken person kind of against the Hollywood industry due to a lot of cover-up and shady stuff that happened to him. And it kind of killed his career for 20 years. And to see him come back, actually, again, is another referendum on what's happening in Hollywood, because they put a guy who put them on blast. You know, he wouldn't show up to the Golden Globes because of some of the stuff that had happened in his past. I mean, some really bad things that happened to that guy. I'm thrilled to see his comeback. But to go a little bit back, we got to go back to Don Lemon, because I don't want people to just think this is all movie talk. When you have the first ever Asian winner of Best
Only the second woman of color ever to win for that award.
Yeah. Who is not, you know, 20 years old. And she goes out there and makes this kind of statement that directly references something that Don Lemon said. How does he survive this? How does he, as a CNN journalists, how do they not look at that and go, we have to respond in a way, because it would be no different, honestly, at this point. It's like them, you know, how much they CNN would talk about Trump. It would be like if one of the Trumps was on camera for them. It becomes so hypocritical. If Hollywood is calling you out, CNN, when's that line for Don Lemon?
Right. And it shouldn't be lost on everyone that Don Lemon's critique was on Nikki Haley. A woman running for president as a conservative. And it's becoming a mantra in an indirect way. She was defending Nikki Haley's honor and also her own and every other woman, as she should, by saying, don't let anybody tell you you're past your prime. It was a remarkable moment. And that was the first thing I thought of when she did make that statement was, wow, CNN thought they got past that. They thought this was over because no one was really talking about it anymore. And on the comeback Oscars, when they're trying to recover, and a lot of people were watching just to see if they were going to be able to right the ship, so to speak, this type of a statement happens. And as you hear at the end of it, the thunderous applause.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like we should play it again with all of this in
now
context.
Now that you know what's coming, listen to this.
This is proof that dreams dream big and dreams do come true. And ladies, don't let anybody tell you you are ever past your prime. Never give up.
Yeah, I mean, that is a direct referendum on one person. And that person is your CNN morning news host.
Right, right.
Coming from as Hollywood as you can make it, from the Academy Awards. Yeah, you brought up Brendan Fraser, who won Best Picture, or won for Best Actor for his portrayal of character in The Whale, which, again, I've not seen, so I can't comment on the movie itself. But a guy who, the last 20 years or so, has kind of been gone. He's not been really a part of Hollywood. Maybe start making his comeback, you could say, in the last 5 years or so, with something like a Doom Patrol or some of his other sort of more niche things that started happening. But him and your Best Supporting Actor were both guys that were kind of on the Comic-Con circuit.
Right.
These were guys who were signing autographs to make a living. And some of that was he took a lot of flack for standing up against some of the dark side of Hollywood.
Right.
Some of the stuff that you hear about on shows like ours, or even more things that you'd think are more conspiratorial. And he spoke out a lot about that. And now, again, much like what happened, you see Hollywood having to finally respond and react. Yeah, it was in 2018. He said that he came out and said he was a victim of sexual assault by the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press, the nonprofit organization that votes for the Golden Globes. And he said that happened in 2003. You could kind of time that up with what was happening around the early 2000s was sort of when his career started to kind of slide.
Right.
Started to sort of fall off the map. And a lot of this stuff doesn't happen out of coincidence. He didn't get put in movie jail because The Mummy 3 didn't do so great.
Right.
Something happened there, and I think you can directly look at that. But what happens, he makes a heck of a comeback, and hopefully Hollywood has had sort of a referendum on themselves. That's what I'm hoping. They see the Jesus Revolution doing well in theaters. They see other movies. Look, I think Jesus Revolution, compared to the hype that came around Cocaine Bear, think about that.
Right.
That was all hype. The movie did fine, theatrically. But it didn't exactly become the next cult classic that everyone's talking about. I know like four people that have seen Cocaine Bear. What did? You saw Jesus Revolution actually have a pretty good swing in the box office. It didn't beat Cocaine Bear, but it did way overperform what people expect.
Well, and it's already made $40 million.
Jesus Revolution?
Yes.
Yeah.
According to Box Office Mojo, which is one of the sites that tracks kind of the box office stuff. For those of you that aren't into tracking the dollar sales at theaters.
And when Cocaine Bear has $65
million. Right.
Think about how many more times you saw the ad for that and how much more money they put into the promotion of that movie. And they went head-to-head.
Right.
And I think you'll see a movie like Jesus Revolution have a much bigger – Scott, I haven't seen either of them. Again, can't comment on the value of either of the films. I have a feeling I'll know which one I'll like more, which would probably be Jesus Revolution, just to clear that up. But that's interesting. To me, that was a move that – They're not – like Hollywood's driven by dollars. And you know what else is driven by dollars, Will?
What?
I don't know. Stock market.
Banks.
Banks. You may have seen some bank closures. Maybe you're trying to figure out, well, what do I do? How do I diversify all the different ways that I have money coming in when you see banks start closing? Well, if you thought 2022 was the worst year for the stock market, maybe this morning we thought it was going to get a lot worse because inflation is on the rise. You've seen rising interest rates. Things are exploding. And this administration clearly – They like spending, and they like turning a blind eye to a lot of the ramifications. But that's why Birch Gold is here. Birch Gold is a foremost authority on precious metals, and check out their precious metal IRAs. That's right. They will help you convert existing IRAs or 401ks into gold. Here's the best part. It's tax sheltered. And to learn more, text BROS, that's BROS, to 989898, and receive a free info kit on diversifying into gold with an A-plus rating from Better Business Bureau, which I like saying. Can you say it?
It's tough. Better Business Bureau.
You slurred through it. Business Bureau, you got to pop your bees. Thousands of satisfied customers. You can trust Birch Gold to protect your savings with gold. That's right. Text BROS, B-R-O-S, to 989898 to claim your free info kit on gold. Again, text BROS, B-R-O-S, to 989898. Do it today. Whew. I ran out of breath with all those nines.
That was a tough one.
And all those eights.
It was a tough one.
98, good year, as I said. Makes me happy.
Was it your favorite? 98?
97 is pretty good. I think 98, though, is pretty good, too.
Why would you pick one over the other on the spot?
97? Things were like at the peak of bubble gum was starting. It became like a happier time.
Right.
98, we're heading into new metal.
Yeah, in 98, we're also concerned about like the computer stopping.
Yeah, NWO kind of starts 97, but really you're talking about, not like, I'm thinking like, think about 97 being like the first years of like the pop music comeback, the Backstreet Boys. And the.
Yeah, if you look at some of the Hot 100 at the year end of 97.
Yeah, what do you got there?
Top songs. Well, first of all, you got Candle in the Wind, so heavy year. But
yeah, you see, Elton John won't perform at the
coronation.
Yeah, which, why would he? Like, to be honest, I'm like, he's known for being friends with Diana.
Right.
Like, part of me is like, if he did, I would kind of feel like he was a fraud.
Yeah, we have I'll Be Missing You, Puff Daddy.
Oh,
you got
that was 97.
Foolish Games by Jewel. Let's see.
See,
I Believe I Can Fly.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Can't talk about that anymore.
Can't, no. How Do I Live with How Do I Live, Leanne Rimes. Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. It was sort of like peak pop. That's when things were happening.
Quit Playing Games with My Heart.
That was the beginning of the TRL generation. The next step was 98, 99, which was Limp Bizkit. And that's when comes a new metal. And it gets a little darker, a little heavier.
Right.
I like that music, but I don't know. I feel like I was happier maybe in 97.
Right. I get what you're saying. I think I agree with you.
I had a pretty good reason there. Just saying.
I know. You typically do. That's why I knew I could throw it to you and be like, well, I'll tell you why, Will.
Quit playing games with my heart.
Right. Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. It's a good song.
Classic.
It's classic Backstreet.
It's a wing song.
Yeah. Oh, man. I gotta leave in a minute to take my son to it. He broke his finger.
Yeah.
I think that's okay to say. I don't feel like there's any shame in that. Right?
Well, I was going to say before you, I mean, unless you've got more you want to say about it, if you just want to go into the ins and outs of, you know, orthopedics.
Oh, go ahead.
On Seculo today, we talked about the historic move by federal government to try to stave off more banks collapsing, as we saw happen. But Jen Psaki said something very telling on MSNBC, which I thought was interesting. So we're going to play this from her. But she was saying why it was so... You know, like notable, because this morning President Biden gave a speech,
and
typically we're always like, "Come on, Biden, speak." I mean, a Chinese spy balloon going across America. Now wait a few
weeks.
Maybe
that's why all of us thought it was refreshing, because it's like, "Oh, the guy's like, got out there.
He's up and at him." Let's hear what she had to say about the timing of this speech. 26.
It's important to note, President Biden does nothing at 9 a.m. He is a night owl. So the fact that he is doing this at 9 a.m. anyway speaks to how vital the White House recognizes it is for him to have his voice out there conveying that to the American public.
I love this for so many reasons. Number one, I didn't realize this was Jen Psaki saying this. I love that someone who has to
directly
has to work with him. And she says, first, he does nothing at 9 a.m. and then says he's a night owl. One of those two things is a lie. I mean, it's not a night. There's no way.
Or both. We know one is true. He does nothing at 9 a.m.
He does nothing at 9 a.m. because the man's got to get probably a full 12 hours. But he's not. He's a night owl.
Also,
I love this.
This
you know a lot of 90-year-old or a lot of 80-year-old night owls? I don't know many.
It wasn't 7:30.
Hopefully I'm wrong, by the way.
This was not 7:30 that he gave the speech. It was 9.
Yeah, you know what time
at
I get up?
At the end of the day, he just had to read the teleprompter at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, someone had to approve it. But that was weird. I got text this morning. My kids are on spring break, so they aren't up. I'm not up as early, because I'm up usually 5:45, 6 o'clock every morning. I get a text from one of my buddies saying, hey, Biden's speaking right now. And it was like at our time, it was 8 a.m., and I did think, what happened?
Oh, no, we're at war.
Yeah,
something
I know,
like,
I mean, yeah.
What other reason would he give a speech that early?
He doesn't address the nation for just about anything.
No.
That's, he missed the Trump eras of just 4 hours of just talking.
It's 4:30 in the morning. Going to give a speech. Going to give a speech. Might as well.
Yeah, going to break the Guinness World Record. I'm just one of those YouTubers who just never stops.
Yeah. You know, they charge a lot, that Guinness book, to break those world records.
Are you allowed to? I don't know if I'll discuss that. I don't know if that's... Is there NDAs?
I don't think I signed an NDA.
Yeah, Will looked at getting a Guinness World Record for one of his other gigs, and I thought it cost, like, I don't know, like $2,500.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that we were wanting to create a new record. So, like, breaking a record may be
cheaper,
but we were trying to essentially create a category, and I guess there was going to be so much research they had to do. But they said, we're going to start the conversation at $18,000 to do this record.
I love that business, because it's not like a governing body.
No.
It's just...
a book.
It's a company. It's like the people who, I mean, not that I haven't done it, that like grade comic books.
Yeah.
It's like the government's not getting involved in this. Like, this is just some dude going 8.5.
Right. And most don't even make it to the book.
Right.
Most Guinness World Records just live on the website. Yeah,
so you have to be the one who says.
Right. You get a certification, but I was like $20,000.
I've been a part
almost.
Of one. I was not the person who paid for it, but I worked on a television show that did the world's largest sliming, and I was part of that. And they did have to go around, they checked your clothes, and there was like slime.
So like you had to have at least a speck of slime, or else you did
you
not get slime.
Yeah, you didn't
get slime. Oh, that's fair.
Because they shot it out of big funnels, like an umbrella funnel.
Sure.
And it would rain down on all of us. So they had there was a rep there. They did take it kind of seriously.
Copious amount of notes.
Yeah. I remember Kiss did that for their big New Year's show in 2020. And the guy came out. He's like, we cannot verify that you have broken the record. And then like walked off stage. You could tell the crowd was like, oh, that kind of.
What was that record for?
I think world's largest pyro display or something.
Okay.
And they're like, we have to do our due diligence before we can. Approve this. And you could tell the band is like, get off the stage. Like,
we just paid you $20,000 right, to come to a concert.
For the crowd to go, yay, we broke the pyro record. But no, instead it was like, nope. Unsure.
Yeah. We did have a listener to that podcast that broke the world record for solo transatlantic row.
Did he pay for that?
He raised sponsors and did it for charity, but he would download episodes of that podcast to listen while he was rowing.
That's fun. And get cool pictures.
But there was someone at the end that was there to certify that he was the same guy, but also they had to have the GPS tracking. It's a racket.
100%
a racket.
I may use it one day, so I don't discount you.
I mean, like
people.
A very legit on the up and up racket.
Like a tennis racket.
Right. Yeah.
Like a pickleball racket.
Sure.
That's what people say.
Is that a racket or is it a paddle?
Ooh, I think they call it a racket.
I don't know.
You do some diving.
Pickleball paddle sounds better.
I got some people who approached me recently about a professional pickleball team.
Uh-huh. It's the fastest growing sport in America.
Nashville doesn't have one, and they were like, we want to bring some
It's called a pickleball paddle.
It's a paddle.
Yeah. Or a racket. Seems to be interchangeable.
Racket seems more fun.
Whoa, there's some expensive ones.
Well.
As in any sport.
It's a sport for old people. It's not really. It's becoming new. All I think of is my grandfather played it. And if my grandfather played it, then, you know, it is what it is. Should we wrap up? Oh, we can't yet.
Tell us why.
Because I don't know if you've heard. Tummy bugs are sweeping the nation. And by the nation, I mean my household. But guess who didn't get sick?
This guy.
Three kids, an adult down. But me? Not even nothing. That's right. And I can't say it's 100% because of this. Could just because I'm Superman. But what helps me is Centurion. That's right. Centurion Labs offers great products, including that Defender Immunity that I take. Take a look at it. Defender Immunity Boost. It's for you. It's got all-in-one immunity booster that combines vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, copper, quercetin. All-in-one pill helps you save money. We've been working with them for the last few months. It's been great. We really love their product. They have other great products, prenatal stuff. Take a look at their website, centurionlabs.com/bros, B-R-O-S. Use the promo code bros. You're going to save 20% off. You'll know it when you go to the website. I checked out. I tried the Defender Immunity PM the other night, which I had not done yet. Not tried it out.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's a great product. Helped me sleep. I was having a rough night.
Because it not only has things to help you sleep, but it does have that immunity booster as well, which is, sleep in and of itself helps your immune system if you have a good night's rest.
I don't know if this is scientific, but I sleep with my mouth open. So I don't know. I feel like the germs get in there pretty easily.
Yeah, you should wear a mask at night, I've heard.
A mask?
Yeah, that's what the government says.
A COVID mask? I do wear a mouth guard.
Uh-huh.
For my sleep apnea.
Oh.
Oh, and okay, go to Centurion Labs, check them out. But I can talk.
You got excited real second.
Got excited.
Ooh, apnea.
I got a new cleaner for it. So.
A UV light?
Yeah. It goes, makes a weird noise. I don't know if it's supposed to make the noise.
It doesn't make sounds?
I think the metal in the, I don't know, but it looks so clean. That thing, I didn't know it was dirty until I noticed that it was clean. And then when I saw it clean, I'm like, what have I been putting in my mouth?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good Lord. But it's fine now. Now it's all good.
It's a good thing you've been taking immunity booster. That's all I'll say.
I mean, I've been brushing it like an old man, like brushing his dentures. I brush my mouth guard.
Not
well
enough.
CPAP, though. I can't do that.
You can't Darth Vader it?
Every time they show that ad with the guy like with the hose, I'm like, I felt that pain for 3 days, and I never will do it again.
Yeah.
But then they're like, don't worry. We'll just surgically implant something in you. And I'm like...
We're all becoming cyborgs.
Yeah.
That's the right use of that term, right? Cyborg? Isn't that where you're half human, half... Or is that... Android is a robot that looks like a human.
Is it?
Cyborg, half and half, I think. Someone could check my facts.
I don't care. All right, well, it's spring break, and we hope you guys have a great week. We'll be back tomorrow with another Secular Brothers. We'll talk a little bit more about the news, things that are happening. You excited, Will?
About what?
Life.
I mean, yes, I'm excited to be alive. A lot of things
Your
going
kids on.
Your
kids on spring break?
Yes, but they're also preschoolers, so it's like they're not going the 2 days that they went normally.
Next year
will be different.
Next year, you'll live and die by the spring break.
Right.
That's when it becomes real. That's when your real parenting begins, when all of your vacation has to be decided on. Oh, no, they got another performance.
That's why Logan is anti-school.
I mean, I'm on the line. I think a lot of our audience is on the line.
I've seen it. I've seen it in the chat.
All right. Count of three. Best Brendan Fraser movie. Go.
Encino Man.
All right. We've got Airheads.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Airheads. Greatest. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.